something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Introducing Scoop and Doozy, our new animated series about a mouse on GAC.
We do a 97 jams with Donovan and Mike McDonald on Harms.
And we talk about what really is true happiness. That's all coming up right now on TNT. I had an idea for an animated show about a cat named Doozy and a little mouse who's on the GAC called Scoops. So it's called Scoops and Doozy.
Okay.
Do you think it's a good idea? So
Scoops is the drug-addled mouse, but yep. I think it's funnier if Doozy is a cat, but it's not there, and it's his conscience.
Oh, the cat doesn't even exist.
Yeah. He sees it, but it's not there.
Oh, wow.
So it's his conscience.
Layers on layers.
All right.
Hey, Doozy, have you seen a tiny Ziploc bag? It was in my room when I went out a couple hours ago. It was in my room when I went out, and now it doesn't seem to be there. It was underneath the pillow when I went out, but I don't see it.
Dude, you know it. Scoops, come on.
Doozy, I'm asking you a question. Why do you got to make everything a life lesson? I'm just wondering if you happen to see a tiny Ziploc bag that was under my pillow a couple of hours ago when I went out a couple of hours ago. And I'm looking under here. I'm looking under the bed. I'm looking at where my shoes are. I'm looking in the bedside table. I don't see it.
Scoops, listen to me. You know you did it, Scoops.
Can you please talk a little bit faster?
Down.
It's not that...
Calm down.
I am calm, first of all. And second of all, do you know that telling someone to calm down doesn't exactly work when you want them to calm down? All I'm telling you is, to recap, there was a tiny Ziploc bag full of something that was very important to me, and it doesn't matter what it was, but it was under my pillow when I went out 2 hours ago, and now it's not here, so I'm wondering if you know where it is. Doozy.
Scoops.
Doozy.
You have to calm down.
I am calm.
Listen. Relax. You took it.
Doozy,
you snorted it.
I did snort it. Now you're being presumptuous about what was in the tiny Ziploc bag that was under my pillow. How do you even know what it was? I'm just saying it was something very important to me. I didn't say it was cocaine.
Scoops.
You filled in that blank, Doozy. Why are you looking at me like that? Like you're judging my journey, okay? It must be hard being perfect. Why don't you throw a rock? Everyone who's never sinned can throw a rock at the other person. I don't see you ever throw any rocks.
You need to relax.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call an Uber. I'm going to get an Uber, and I'm going to go downtown.
No.
I'm
going to
be my friend Snake, because he has other Ziploc bags like that one, and he can help me, because I don't think I can even think straight till I have that Ziploc bag back. So if I had another Ziploc bag, then I might be able to think straight about where it is that the bag was.
Scoops, listen to some music.
Oh, Doozy, if only
down.
It was that easy. See, you lack urgency. That allows
home.
You to get things done. That's why I always get things done, because
stay.
Okay.
Home.
Okay.
Play some music.
Okay, well, it would be... Okay. It would be, if only life was that easy, that all you had to do is put on some music when you... Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Calm down.
This was actually my jam back in the day. This was actually my jam back in the day. Okay. Okay. Who's this? Is this Choclair? Who is this? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Who is this? Who does
this?
I am. Did you hear him just say he just said Scoops in the song? Who is this? Is this I Love It When You Call Me Big Poppy? Is this, who is this?
Calm down. Don't open that again.
Doozy, can you not please talk to me like I'm 2 years old? I am not. I'm an adult.
Don't
mouse who somehow managed to function in the world.
Don't sniff at all.
I can't. It's not. I'm not thinking straight. It's the problem of it is. And that's why I need to meet my friend Snake, who has a Ziploc bag that can replace the Ziploc bag that I had. Because it was here 2 hours ago when I went out. But I'm going to guess that it wasn't you that took it.
Put on the Paula Cole CD.
Why, because it's a 1997 jam?
Yes, calm down.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Don't do it.
Do you know what? Can I tell you something? I want to thank you. I want to thank you. You know why?
Why?
Because you put on this song by Paula Cole, right? And it just reminded me that Cole, I put my Ziploc bag in the barbecue charcoal that's on the back deck. So if I put it there so that no one would find it, because I thought that was a place that no one would look. So if I go look at the barbecue charcoal on the back deck where I put the Ziploc bag, I think that's where the Ziploc bag is, because Cole rhymes with Cole, Paula Cole, even though it's spelled differently. But that reminded me that that's probably where my Ziploc bag is. So even when you're not trying to help me necessarily, you still do help.
Stop doing that. Stop sniffing it.
Is this the highest concept thing we've done? Maybe Scoops next to Gorkak. Scoops and Doozy.
Scoops is over a barrel in the house.
Can we have a contest just in time for the holiday where someone has to design the Scoops and Doozy poster?
Send in your Scoops and Doozy artwork to hashtag Scoops and Doozy. I guess that would be Scoops, S-C-O-O-P-S, and Doozy, D-O-O-Z-I-E.
Scoops and Doozy.
Scoops and Doozy. Let's see what they look like, bots.
Someone's going to make some wicked Scoops and Doozy poster, and then we're going to send them a prize. The TNT merch trunk is getting pretty empty, isn't it? But we'll scrape together phenomenal TNT merch.
Maybe we can, we can come up with something, though. A little grab bag of some
sort. Heck yeah, girl. How are you, Tags?
I'm good. How are you doing? It's actually freezing cold here, but we're getting a little bit over the zero mark.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I do? I have started on in the last month and a half now. And
what's
it's
that
long
now?
Enough that I think I'm doing it on the reg, and I was never a vitamins guy. Were you a vitamins guy? I take them and stop taking them.
I have dabbled with the vitamins from time to time. I'm not on a regular vitamin program right now. Someone told me that turmeric is what I need to be taking. Mike Stevens, harmonica player. He's big into the turmeric for like bone health.
Yeah.
And I was taking a multivitamin for a while, taking a couple of vitamin Ds a day for a while, but I'm not currently on the vitamins. What are you taking?
I'm on a bunch of stuff, like some iron, some calcium, some multis, some vitamin C, a B12. But I get to the point now where it's like, if I'm I'm not happy unless I get the Pikachu yellow piss halfway through the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You're not a fan of that?
No, I am. I feel like I'm losing if I don't have the Pikachu pee. You know, like the bright yellow pee of like the flush out of the vitamins.
I love that because it makes me feel like I'm living, you know?
That's what I'm saying. So without that, I'm like, oh, man. So I'll find myself firing some vitamins at like 11 o'clock at night just to keep the train rolling. And then I wake up in the morning and it's like SpongeBob in the can. Loving it.
What does that
Good
mean?
Times. Well, bright yellow.
That's SpongeBob in that regard. Got it. I thought that maybe
they... Pikachu being the yellow Pokemon.
Yes, I understand now.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the most yellow stuff I know.
Well, that's good. That's good for you, bud.
Yeah. So anyway, and the vitamins, you know. So good. So I actually, I feel more awake at night.
Is that a good thing?
Well, at night meaning like 8, 9, 10 o'clock instead of like starting to go like, hey, bedtime's coming up here. Not like, falling asleep on the couch, but like just feeling a little more together
later in the day. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So what time are you staying up till typically?
I usually can't stay awake past like 11:30, 12. That's about it. I prefer, and I used to be 3 or 4 o'clock back in like 10, 15 years ago before kids. I was always a night owl, but now I can't stay awake past 11:30 unless something's going on.
See, I find it hard to suddenly rally and stay awake late.
Well,
has been like 10:25 and then suddenly it's Friday night and you want to give her a bit Forget it.
Yeah, and things start to fire up around 6:30, 7 o'clock, so that's a long time from then. That's the difference. If you're sleeping till 1 in a hotel room, that's it's a lot easier to stay up till 2 o'clock.
Is that what time you would sleep till 1?
If I was up till 6 o'clock, yeah.
Man. Then just grab a sandwich and go do a show.
Not, yeah. How about that? Now things are like, what do you like better, the first coffee or the second coffee,
Jonathan? I know.
First coffee, the second coffee after you finish the stuff you had to do in the morning is maybe better than the first one.
Yeah, like the victory lap coffee?
Yeah, like the, yeah. Like, you know, the accomplishment coffee as opposed to the getting up coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Big difference in those two things. One's like, yeah, you got to get up and you're happy to have it. But the second one's like, you're kind of more happy to have it because you've already done some shit.
True. I like me being accomplished.
Well, isn't that the root of happiness?
Do you believe that, Jeremy?
I believe there's no happiness without accomplishment.
Huh. I would subdivide accomplishments because there's the gotta do's and the love to do's.
Well, I'm talking about happiness too, right? There
yeah,
can
I know.
Be happiness in a tough accomplishment, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, that was a pain in the ass, but I'm so glad it's finished. That's like true happiness.
See, I would argue that that's satisfied. When I get a bunch of stuff crossed off my list that I didn't necessarily want to do, I feel satisfied more than happy. When I do things that make me bring me joy, I think those are different.
But you can't be happy all the time. So
I don't know. Can't you?
Well, I think you can be satisfied all the time by accomplishing things. So you kind of guarantee yourself a better than sad, which usually happens when you have too much time on your hands to think about things. In the biggest picture, right? If you're talking about splitting hairs of happiness of what it is, like, I mean, happiness is it when you're on a roller coaster or when someone's tickling you? But not too much? Is that real happiness? Or is happiness in like building a sandcastle? It's not too difficult, but you finished it and you look at it and it's something you did, so you get something from that. Satisfaction? I think it's pretty much happiness. Same boat, man.
Interesting. Or, yes, and is it pure happiness if what you're doing has no bearing on your mental state? So you're not being brought joy because you're going to Dairy Queen. You just are happy because your mind feels clear and your heart feels light and all that stuff.
Well, is calm and, well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that could be happy too. Same idea. And like, but, yeah. I guess, you know, when you're like, I'm alive, and that's pretty incredible equation if you look at not being alive, you know.
And by comparison.
Well, I'm saying the actual lottery, not just to be, you know, breathing, but to be breathing in a place where you're not dealing with problems that could be a lot worse.
Yes.
So that's, yeah.
I
don't know
I guess
if that's
I'm thinking
happy
of,
as much as like that's just you know, being there and digging it. I don't know. I guess it's the same boat. Maybe a cheaper seat in the boat, but the same boat.
This is what my mom always said on the subject of depression, and that was something that she tangled with her whole life. She always said the thing about depression is if you lose your job, for example, or you lose a loved one, say, it's normal to feel down after events like that. But where depression differs is if there's no tangible moment or event you can tie your mood change to. So you're not down because of something that happened specifically. You're just genuinely and generally in a funk. So I guess the question I was asking was, is happiness, does it work the same way? Can you just be happy because you feel happy? Or is your happiness typically associated with I delivered this big project at work, and I'm really happy that I got it done. Or we went sailing, and I love sailing, so that made me feel happy.
Well, those are, yeah. If you had a vision in what you were doing and it was something that you believed in at work there, I think there would be a bit more like, for example, you know, the record we made, it was accomplishing that gives a sense of happiness in a way.
Yeah.
I think the best way I can say what depression is when you do something that's normally supposed to be fun and it's not.
Oh, interesting.
That's depression.
Right.
You know, depression doesn't just like, oh man, I'm just sitting here and trying to find reasons to be, you know, upset because there's lots of them. Depression is like, man, it's like, this is supposed to be fun and it's not, you know?
Well, that is definitely on the same, in the same bucket as what my mom said. You just took it one step further. Hers was when you're not doing anything and you're in a funk. Yours is you're doing something that's supposed to be fun and it doesn't feel fun. It's different shades on the same palette, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
That must suck. Things that are supposed to be fun being like, meh.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had a bit of that this year, you know.
I bet.
Where I try to do stuff that I normally do like, and it's just you're taken out of it, or it's just not connecting on the same level. So yeah, you have to. I think maybe the only answer in that regard is trying to do other things that you don't know about that can bring that feeling that those things that you know you enjoyed in the past brought you. That's one way to look at it. You know.
Yep.
Because. Again, when you're trying to find it in a way and you can't by normal pathways, you have to sometimes look in a new pathway and learn, because you've looked back. It's like, well, I do remember being happy when, you know, I didn't know how to drum and then did know how to drum, or, you know, winning a baseball game, or, you know, stuff like that. So you have to think about, well, what is it that I liked about it? I think it's a lot of it is like, say, if you couldn't play piano and 2 years later you could play a whole song without having to think about it. Like that's a kind of a something that reverberates, and it's new and it's fresh and it creates energy. So I think that's probably the best way to get back on track.
Yeah, that would definitely make you feel proud, and it's something to do that you have no reference point for whether it should make you happy or sad historically. I think about that a lot, like how as you get older, it's so easy to just not bother doing new things or learning new stuff or meeting new people. It's just you get to a comfy place and it's just easier. But it's really important for so many reasons, isn't it? To try stuff you've never done and challenge yourself and do things outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I have to take a break here. There's someone knocking at the door that I have to get.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
Hey, Jerry, you know how when the Lord closes a door, he opens a window?
Yeah.
So today is Monday, and Friday we're supposed to go to Boston because I'm working there next week.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, we sent away Indy's passport to get renewed because it expires in January. And suddenly on the weekend, we're like, oh my gosh, Indy doesn't have her passport back. What if she doesn't get her passport back in time? How do we do that? What do we do? So this morning we called the passport people. What's going on with the passport? Have you seen the passport? They said it's out for delivery, but we sent it back because you guys didn't include her birth certificate. So we're like, great. Now we'll have to go get her a passport tomorrow and do that expedited 24-hour math. But they sent it back and they didn't even cut the corner off it. You know how when your passport's done, they cut the corner off it to say, like, can't use it anymore? So it's fine. We got our passport back and we can just use it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're supposed to go.
I've had the old I've had the old two passports at one time when I thought I lost it and found it.
Wait.
So I just used it for ID.
So isn't your original one invalid? Like, what happens when they scan it?
Well, that's what I mean. If you lose it, you have to. It doesn't really work to use, but it still works if it's not, you know, it's up to date in terms of not expired.
Oh, if you're going lo-fi.
Yeah, and if you're like, I want high class ID if I'm needing to walk around as opposed to having my actual passport for whatever other than traveling, it's a good move.
What do you carry in your wallet? First of all, do you have a wallet? You do have a wallet, right?
I have a tiny wallet, yeah, smallest wallet there is. A little two flapper with some credit cards and cards. That's it.
But does it go in your back pocket?
Usually front pocket. I'm not a back pocket guy. Back pockets for picking.
Yeah, right. And it creates an unfortunate silhouette.
Yeah, and Ronnie, my pops, Ronnie was always good to keep the old front. Keep it in your front of your juke. Keep it in your front pocket or your front coat pocket.
What does juke mean?
It's Scottish for jacket.
It is? Juke.
Yeah.
Where is your juke?
Slangsy.
Tell me, where is your juke?
He's like, put your toque in your juke.
Is that Scottish for junk in the trunk?
No, your toque, like in winter. Make sure you have a toque in your juke. Yeah.
Put your toque in your juke.
Why does it always sound like Glass Tiger or Alan Frew when you do Scottish guy?
That sounds like you better shut your mouth. I'm going to suggest you put your toque in your juke, sir.
You know, you say people that look the same, generally their voice is similar. You've said that, haven't you? Have you heard about that?
I don't think so.
Like shape of skull can warrant a similar voice just by virtue of how you speak.
I've said that about siblings and harmonizing.
Yeah, but I think it's a thing. Like, sometimes you'll see somebody who looks exactly like someone else and they have the same voice, kind of.
Wow. Like, that's, I don't know if I've ever noticed that.
Like, I knew there was a guy who was like a Brett Hall looking mask, exactly like Brett Hall, and he had the same kind of voice that Brett Hall is, like, kind of husky.
Come on.
Yeah, man. It was really weird. But, like, anyway, I'm saying maybe because you kind of have a similar head shape as the Frew. Maybe that's why you can do Alan Frew.
Do I?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm just thrown. It's a good one. I like the comparison of the head shape.
You know, he takes negative things and makes them very positive, the Frew. Mm. He's always talking about positive things. He's the best. He's really a happy guy. And it sounds like he's gone through a lot.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Of all people I could have a head shaped like, I'm just fine if my head is shaped like the Frew. I should be so lucky to share a cranium shape with the Frew. We have the same shape, the cranium. It's exactly alike.
Just because we have the same shaped head doesn't mean we have to have the same kind of marmalade.
Listen, I'm going to bend alike like Beckham. You ready?
What?
What? I'm going to bend the word alike like Beckham. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
So what if our heads are shaped alike? Hear the bend I put on alike? Alike?
Yeah. Would you bend it? How about like Alan Frew trying to get to the Scarborough Town Center on the bus when he's a kid?
And I took the 14, but it put me out at Needs, and I wasn't able to connect the right bus to get me to the town center.
I'm going northbound on Kennedy instead of going southbound on McCowan.
Scarborough Scottish might be my favorite.
How do I get to that Scarborough Town Center?
I'm looking up Scarborough streets.
No, it's right on McCowan. It's just south of TSN.
Is it?
You know what we're done? Yeah, like the CTV in there. It's just across the highway.
McCallum.
I'm a little... I've got to be off the record at 3:30 and then I'm going to the Scarborough Town Centre to get some socks.
McCoon!
You gotta do...
I can't do take like the bus on McCoon!
They'll say he has to do something in the CTV building and then get to the Scarborough Town Centre for something.
Pardon
else.
Me, I'm trying to get to a taping of Deanie Petty. But the 14 dropped me off on Albion Avenue. I was trying to get to Ashcott Street where I could connect to the 40. But Billaundry Crescent hasn't even been built yet according to this document.
I have to get to CTV to do a thing for the Hockey Network, my favourite meals. And then I got to go to the Scarborough Town Centre to get some new shoes.
I'm trying to get to a live taping of the Camilla Scott Show. I'm supposed to sing the opening anthem for the Barry Colts. But I cannot find the barn.
I have a thing to do with Hot Santa. What's his name? I'm a gig with Hot Santa up at CTV this afternoon. Hipster Santa.
I'm supposed to do a fashion segment with Hot Kris Kringle. Do you know what I'm saying? I saw Hot Kris Kringle standing in front of Tip Top Tailors. Hot Kris Kringle's doing a promotion at Scarborough Town Centre in front of Tip Top Tailors. And the first 10 people that show up get a free mock turtleneck. What's Taggart and Torrens about? I don't know, man.
They went off on Alan Frew getting lost on the TTC.
I can't find Dogwood Crescent. Now I just have a list of...
I can't go over the 401 to the bus driver, oh man.
No, wait, stop. Let me out. Let me out.
It's super far to go over the bridge. To
my girlfriend
back.
Lives on Flycatcher Avenue. It's just across the 401. The free 1997, bud. That's the year of the jams that you pulled. Because this is episode 197, right?
We could also fire up the harms.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I feel comfortable enough saying this aloud. As the buds know, we were hopeful that we'd get to do our 200th episode at Swiss Chalet.
Yeah.
We received a response on the internet service. Granted, they are very, very busy, and we get that. But what it came down to was, essentially, we could book the party room at the Barry location and have a few buds in there paying for quarter chickens and do our 200th episode there, which suddenly felt like, well, wait a sec. I feel like we're just booking the party room at a place that neither of us live. So as tempting as that was, we're going to opt out, though thanks to them for responding on Twitter. And we have a new plan, which we're going to hope to roll out in the next couple of days. It's going to be in Halifax, and it's going to be our 200th episode at a live, God willing, supremely Canadianity location.
Oh, man.
If this comes together, it'd be great.
Yeah, we're looking at something that could be just a perfect way to mark the monument of 200 episodes.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So it's not even save the date. It's just so you know we haven't forgotten and we're really excited about it and we have a new plan.
Yes, and it's happening.
It's happening.
Can't wait to... Next episode, we'll have all the details.
Yeah, can't wait. And we'll probably announce it.
We'll announce it on Twitter very soon. But just keep everybody's keeping their ears and they're get ready to rock in, I would say, second week of December in Halifax somewhere.
That's what I would say too. Super fun alert. Lots of fun stuff around that time of year too, because it's the holiday season, of course. It's our 200th episode. It's just a fun time of year to be social, you know?
Yes, I know. We got the tree up yesterday here.
You did?
The tree's up, man.
November 24th tree?
Yeah, and it felt like we were doing it late almost for some reason, because it's just the spirits high in the house.
Well, that's good.
Kids want to rock. I would say Annalise, being the number one in terms of getting it going. But yeah, and it's pretty cool now, because we're at the point where we have so many handmade ornaments on the tree now from over the years from everybody. It looks really cool. It's got a nice vibe. It's very, lots of depth. It's packed, you know, when you look in and you look into the tree and there's stuff in the middle of it, styles.
Memories.
But just the depth of the tree. There's so many ornaments on it that, yeah, you look anywhere and you get a little gasp, a little sigh of time passing with us.
I forget.
We can use it. Sorry, go ahead. You forget what?
Did you fellas get a, you got a artificial, right, last year?
We got a new artificial this year. The last year, I think we had a real one last year. But this year, we went and got a good artificial, to the point where this thing is like, this thing's ridiculous. We got it on half price at Michael's.
Does it come with a stand?
Yeah. I think it normally would have been about a 500 banger. We got it for like 240.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's like 7.5 feet, and it has just the depth of a tree, but it's... And it's got the thick, kind of more real-looking branches as well as the, like, not as real inside. So it just looks, when you put all the ornaments on it, it just looks like a textbook. And it's no drying up, croaking tree sitting in your house for 3 weeks.
See, that's nice.
The non-croaking part, yeah.
Jeremy, yesterday was not only the American Music Awards, but also the Grey Cup. There was so much to do yesterday. How did you find time to put the tree up?
It was going on around it. Yeah, we were doing that all day. And the other thing is, because the only thing you miss with the fake tree is the smell, but you get the real little, you know, the chunks of the pine and whatnot, the little wreaths you get. Fire a few of those around the house, you get the smell of back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not losing on anything. But there you go. The Grey Cup. Bombers took it home since 1990. They haven't won, and poor Tie Cats. But hey, they got the Arkells blowing up, so you know they'll win the next couple sometime soon. But we've got to feel bad for the Buds and the Hammer. But how about the guy that had no pants, had to wearing shorts for the last 25 years?
I feel like you know more about this than I do. Is that his thing? He was wearing like, I'm going to wear shorts till they win.
Basically, yeah, it's like it was a vow he made to not wear pants again until they won. So he literally he used the term wobbly pops with my buds. So that kind of cements him as a guy growing up in the 70s and 80s in Canada, right? That phrase.
Yeah.
And so that kind of told me, he's like, he's probably rocking those, like, if he's wearing pants, they're going to be those, like, jammer, like, workout pants. You know, those ones with, like, all like, the crazy...
Like Zubaz?
Yes, total Zubaz.
Zubaz weightlifting pants?
Yes, yes.
Can you believe they had a moment?
They had a moment. They had a moment, crazy. But, like... And then when they won, he's out there and he's putting on the Zubaz. He's actually putting on Zubaz pants.
Like, of all the pants you could put on, those are the ones you're opting to put on for your first pants in 2.5 decades?
Dean Murdoch from FUBAR was right there with every moment and step of this guy on Twitter. So I would say he had a lot to do with the Canadianity factor of taking out the side of it. But he said someone DM'd him saying that he was their high school teacher or school teacher, and he had Zubaz pants all the time back then.
No way.
Yeah, so it's like legitimized through Dean Murdoch. That's the pants that he definitely wore, like the Burt and Cummings at the party pants.
You know,
remember that time Burt and Cummings was singing in the karaoke jams at the Phoenix up in where Andy Frost would be? He had those jammers on, Zubaz.
Did he?
Yeah, 95 styles. He was doing American Woman with the Zubaz pants on.
No, come on.
Yeah. Yep. And there was like nobody left in the bar. It was like just for kicks.
Why? Come on.
What do you mean? He was having a gas. He's having fun. He was banged up clearly. He's like, let's just get into things. I'm not, you know, when you sometimes when you get those types of people that are like more than happy to talk about themselves, if they get banged up, it's like next thing you know, they're just rocking through the hits.
Have you ever, okay.
You know what I mean?
What is your most, I can't believe I'm here watching this with my eyes moment? Like one of like, those, like, yeah, it was weird. Then suddenly Elton gets on the piano and he's playing Candle in the Wind. Oh, you must like have had some of those moments that were like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. That's a pretty spotty one to put up to remember.
Did Eddie Van Halen ever grab an acoustic around the fire?
No, but Eddie, when we were out with Eddie Van Halen, he was always hanging out backstage with like a guitar around his neck, plinking away, and while he talked, right?
Was he?
That's all the time. Yeah, he always had a guitar in his hands and was playing. And what's crazy is even the little guitar in his hands would had no, it was just a, you know, obviously an electric guitar with no, connected to no amp at all, but it was so loud.
It sounded really?
Like it was like, wow, man, it's just the sound that he got out of his fingers was incredible. That was, I guess, his way of staying sober was whittling and diddling on the guitar.
Oh, wow.
And same for Alex, because he was just drumming all the time. He'd get to the venue and then sit on the kit and solo. To the point where it's like, like there's nothing more annoying when you're in a band and the one guy just starts playing his whatever, bass or guitar, super loud, and you can tell he's just messing around when you're trying to do something and you can't hear anything. It's really annoying, but like obviously Eddie and Alex did it and nobody, that was it. Like at that point, nobody cares. They're both doing it and they're both not really even, sometimes they'd play together, sometimes they wouldn't.
So in their case, are they playing so that they're not drinking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wake up, go to there and just play the show or practice and then play.
But wow.
I imagine that was probably it. Otherwise, yeah, they'd be just getting wasted.
Crazy.
Like in, imagine back in the day when they're partying all the time, that's all they would do. That was kind of their way to bridge the gap between 8 hours of being awake between the show and being awake of the boredom in between. So, yeah. Craziness. Not
like, what else are you gonna do? Go for a walk, play some cribbage? Like, really, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
even if, especially trouble.
If it's like the fifth 500th time you've been to St. Louis, what are you gonna do, Jonathan? You sit in your
get
hotel
into trouble, that's what.
Start call Scoops the Mouse.
Yeah, Scoops and Doozy.
Anybody I know who did Scoops didn't do them they didn't do them for long in the spotlight, that's for sure, because I usually would either croak or fall quick.
Really?
I was never, a scoops guy. It's a bad move for any
bots. Because they'd spend all their dough.
It's, yeah. And not to mention that when you do scoops, you kind of become an annoying person because you just keep, there's a falsehood to everything that you think is great. Like you're super happy about an idea that's terrible. You know, oh man, we got to do this thing. It's going to be so cool. We're going to do a video in the woods and we're going to have strobe lights and it'll just like be awesome, man. We're going to do it.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. It's like, come on, man.
They try to apply Scoop's methodology to like, to everything.
Yeah, it's like, I just love it, man. Just sitting here and talking, man. Just hanging out with you. It's just like, just we hang out, we talk, and it's like it's the best. Just we're just like sitting here, and it's like, oh, don't you like it, man? It's awesome, right? It's like, actually, that's not actually cool because you won't stop talking about something that's not cool that you think is cool.
Are you pretty good at scoop spotting?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Are you?
Because if they start really getting into it, then their jaws and they start moving like a lobster.
What do you mean?
If they're really on the gack, they start like moving around like they're a zombie or something a bit, like the kind of, and their mouth opens and closes like like slow and weird.
So gack
like a
grinders?
Like a skeleton. It's like the kind of, their face like tightens, or it looks like their face is kind of like their mouth is smirk, like Robin Williams' face. And if they're really rocking, then they start grinding their teeth and stuff, which is the really like, oh man, take it easy. Get out of here.
Heart gack racing. Grinders and scoop spotters.
Oh man.
Oh, he's a gack grinder, eh?
Well, it makes sense.
Like, as a description for someone?
It makes sense that it's a popular drug because it makes you think what's nothing is fun, I guess, right? And you're awake all of a sudden. And you're like, wow, man. I'm going to put this sock on and off 30 times.
It's big right now, I gather.
It's always been big, and it just keeps getting bigger. And the scary part is all the mixing with the fentanyl and all that. When that stuff's like getting manufactured on the streets, it's just, that's why you got rappers dropping like flies.
You think? Do you think it's gack? Cut with ties?
No, it's the popping the fentanyl and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
that's no joke, man.
You're not going to a doctor and getting it from, the dose is perfectly created to warrant, you know, feeling better from your horrifying cancer or whatever you're dealing with, to just mask that pain. And people are taking that, and you can die so easily. And imagine, I just can't believe people are down with trying that stuff on the street. Like, sure. Like Philip Seymour Hoffman, that little peep, like how many people have to die before people going, wow, that's a real roll of the dice. It's crazy stuff.
Is that what happened to Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Well, bad heroin or overdone heroin that might have been cut with fentanyl. Cardiac arrest.
Crazy. What a career that guy had.
I know, huh? Like, there's almost every movie he's been in is one of those ones that'll come on and you'll just leave it on.
What was the first Philip Seymour Hoffman movie that you were like, this guy?
Well, I can't remember what he did. I remember, like, in Big Lebowski, he was even interesting, his character. Although, then that Boogie Nights, he was great in that.
He was phenomenal in Boogie Nights. That was the first role that was like, oh, this guy has range. But I remember him from Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was incredible in that. Yeah. What was that other one with everybody in it? From Tom Cruise to John C. Reilly, when he loses his gun. What's that one? The Amy Man Jams.
What was that?
Starts with an M. And we're going to just sit here. Everybody out there is going, saying it, screaming it to us.
Don't remember, bud.
Hey, we haven't even dipped into the 97 jams yet. We got off on this Alan Frew, Scarborough, Philip Seymour Hoffman tangent.
I know, but all those things are still part and parcel.
Totally. Totally legit.
Because, like, I think that's a 97 jam anyway.
What is?
The Amy Mann one. What the hell's the movie called? I'm going to find it.
I don't know. Unrelated.
Magnolia, that movie, remember?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, now I got it. Back on track.
Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yeah.
Doobie Brothers announced 50th anniversary tour with Michael McDonald. Boom.
Mm-bop.
Did you know that?
Mm-bop, mm-bop, mm-bop. Imagine Michael McDonald doing oom-bop.
Oom-bop, oom-bop. I always just use the melody from Sweet Freedom. Oom-bop, oom-bop, oom-bop.
That one?
What? Why don't you do some Michael McDonald doing 97 jam harmonies?
Okay. Like Time of Your Life by Green Da?
Was that 97?
Yeah. Green Da?
Green Da.
Be that guy going to Green Da. How about like selling your Green Da tickets on Byron?
What do you want for that? Phone number 1-800. Want for that? Phone lines are opened. Hey, Martin, you're on the air. What's on the go?
Byron.
Yeah, what's on the go, Martin?
I got two tickets for Green Day.
You got tickets for Green Day?
Two tickets for Green Day.
Is this the Dookie reunion tour?
Yeah, they're doing Dookie two nights at the Metro Center.
They're doing Dookie?
Yeah.
Two tickets? Where are they in the venue, Martin?
Oh, they're way up there. Nosebleeds.
Oh, nosebleeds, eh? What was the face value of the tickets to see Dookie or Green Day?
I paid $100 and $120 all in.
No, that's the markup to see Green Day do it, okay. What was the face value of the ticket?
80.
80? And you got two of them. Does a receipt come with it?
Sure. I could find that. I'll email it to you.
Okay. And you got two of them. 80 times 2, 160. So you're Green Day. And okay. What do you want for that?
How about 80 each?
That's what you paid for it, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you paid an owner, right?
Yeah, I paid more than that.
You paid an owner?
No. What?
You paid an owner? Paid 100?
Yeah.
You paid an owner?
Yeah. 200.
So you paid an owner per 200. So you do Green Day, dude, okay. Oh, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But I wouldn't mind seeing Green Day, dude, okay? If I'm being honest with you. Would you consider Florida? Even a Florida ticket for a total of 80?
I just love the... That's like Cotton Cookies with the playing Green Day playing Dookie.
How about Alan Doyle...
Oh, yeah.
...tweeting Gone Hot Dogs?
Yeah. With you in it, just to say, hey, Gone Hot Dogs.
Hey, Gone Hot Dogs. It was a picture of a hot dog display that was empty, which was probably like, maybe, I don't know, Costco or something. Maybe Gone Hot Dogs is as bad as Gone Gogues. I'm going to tell you something. Speaking of people that do so much good in the world, man, that guy's tireless.
I know.
Well, even I'm home for a couple of days off, and his days off are like doing super kind thing for people.
Yeah, or goes going to see the Trues or who's ever in town, right? Like on his 2 days off.
Yeah.
Just the best.
And imagine his wife is also a saint, because I'm sure, even if he doesn't intend to when he goes out, or he's not up for it or something, as the official, unofficial ambassador of St. John's, everyone who comes through town must be low-key hoping for an invitation to his house.
Walking by all slow, like for the third time.
Yeah, I'm sure he would put pressure on himself to like, well, you know, whoever's coming, I should probably have them over. How many late nights have there been in his kitchen? I'm going to say an average of 70 a year.
Oh, for sure. And that's, and he's only home for like 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, even you call the ride, whatever, the train that takes you to the airport, the Alan Doyle Express, right?
Yeah. Well, really, the flight from St. John's to Halifax or Toronto should be called the Alan Doyle because they take it so much.
Yeah.
But what I was referring to as the Alan Doyle the other day was the train that goes from Union Station to the airport.
Yeah, because he's always on the move there.
But he's right. It takes about 18 minutes. It's cheaper than a taxi.
Yeah.
And it does. There's no traffic. It's an Alan Doyle straight to the airport. Why wouldn't you take that?
Even if it's like 2:30 in the afternoon or 5.
Yeah.
Just gets you where you right want to be. Hey, so did we even get to the arms or no? It's the 97s? 97 jams? I don't think we did. We haven't even played anything.
Who's doing the Michael McDonald?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like one so headlight. I'll give you Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
I'd like to hear you hit a Michael McDonald arms on that song. So is the idea someone brings in Michael McDonald to do sneaky harmonies after hours on certain songs?
Yeah.
Or Barbie Girl by Aqua. That's a 97 jam.
Yeah, that's a good one. So he just
or
hit
tub
hit
me, thumping.
Hit me with the melody you want me to do and I'll just fire okay. right on there.
Michael.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, yeah?
No problem, Donovan.
As you know, I've got this young band I'm working with called Chumbawamba. They're destined to be one of the great one-hit wonders of all time, yeah? But the gas tank is empty. They put all their time, resources, experience, and history into this 2 minutes and 30 seconds, never to be heard from again, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Having said that, the song Tub Thumping is an earworm. It is catchy, but I feel like it's missing, and they don't know I'm doing this, but I feel like it's missing.
I can't hear you, Donovan. I can't hear you.
That's like dog whistle pitch that maybe if I sneak it in, they won't even hear in the finished product, yeah?
I gotta go.
So the melody goes like, oh, Danny boy. Danny boy, Danny boy. You got that, okay. Yeah? Oh, Danny boy, Danny boy, Danny boy. That's the melody. But I feel like it could use some Michael McDonald. Some Michael McDonald. Like a kind of a, I'm not sure if it's like a, like a bit of a, do you know what I mean? That thing that you do. To recap, the melody is, oh, Danny boy, Danny boy, Danny boy. So I am recording. Just try a few different whacks at it, Michael, with that Michael McDonald thing. Yeah?
Okay, Donovan, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here it comes.
Danny boy! Danny boy! Danny boy! Danny boy!
I like that.
Danny
Can you try
boy.
To get as though, try the first one as though you're afraid of Danny boy. The second one is as if you're like, oh, wait a minute, I do know you. And the third one as if there's something I've always wanted to tell you. Yeah?
what you're looking for? It's like that?
Okay.
Is that it? Is
yeah, that sounds good.
In it? Is
what
that,
I have you
do
here?
It, do it, do
no,
it,
it's good.
Do it, do it, do it, did I do it? It is my minute by minute.
No, it was great. Well, I have you here. Do you know Richard Ashcroft?
The guy bumping into people on the street?
Yeah. Since it's 1997, I have a song with Richard Ashcroft called Bittersweet Symphony. Bittersweet Symphony. And it right now goes, it's a bittersweet symphony. Yeah? Could you just try the phrase Bittersweet Symphony in that Michael McDonald kind of way? That Michael McDonald special, yeah? Just a few Bittersweet Symphony.
Is it okay that my dog's barking in the back here?
Yeah, it's fine.
My home studio.
Yeah, of course.
I got a nice $2,000 Neumann here. Should cancel it out when I start singing, Donovan.
Sweet. Just try like several Bittersweet Symphony.
Bittersweet Symphony! Tala!
Can you try it higher?
Bittersweet Symphony!
I feel like that's closer, yeah? Can you just hold that last note as long as you can?
In this life! Does that work?
It's not working, is it?
No, my dog's still barking. Sorry.
Is that a euphemism or an expression? An American expression for something?
No, you know, I just don't like to mess with my time on the clock. You know, I'm a hard worker.
Oh, you mean literally your dog is barking?
Well, not now, but he was, yeah.
Okay, I thought... So
do you want to try another one? Do you want to try another song?
There's another 1997 song called... What's it called here? Oh, Candle in the Wind. Candle in the Wind.
Isn't that an old song? Isn't that old?
No, it's by LT.
Elton. Elton doing it again, is he? He's doing it again, is he?
So it goes like... Actually, I found a better one from 1997. It's called Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah, my kids like that one.
The melody goes, might as well be walking on the sun. So it's sort of
might as well be walking on the sun. Do you want me to do it or?
Try it again.
Might as well be walking on the sun. Might as well be walking on the sun.
Can you go as high as you can on the sun?
What's that?
Go as high as you can on the word sun.
Might as well be walking on the sun!
Oh, that's good stuff. Man, 97, crazy. By the way. Sex what and a... Candy? That was a jam.
Oh, yeah. I remember that jam, yeah. You Were Meant for Me by Jewel.
Good Riddance. Green Day.
Grinda? They'll Grinda? Be Grinda forever. You want to see Grinda?
Duduka? As Long As You Love Me, Backstreet Boys?
Crash Into Me. Remember that one? Crash. The Horny One by Dave
into
Matthews.
Into Me. Sure. Sure I do.
Semi-Charmed you know Life, the never-ending song.
Here's a good place to end
stop
it.
Singing. What?
In 1997, Oasis had a song called... Do you know what I mean? Good chatting, bud.
Talk to you soon.